Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And one of the great pictures in the Bible, in each generation, it's not just the day of grace, but in each generation is a picture of the prayers of the saints in God's eyes being like the incense that was offered in the temple and also in the tabernacle. Let me read a little bit further. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And then we have a whole new round of terrible things that are going to happen on this planet during the tribulation period. I'm thankful for the promise of God that as a believer, I'm not going to be a part of that. But I'm going to observe the things that are going on there in heaven. And that's one of the things, as God takes the wonderful prayers of the saints that he pictures like incense. Let's take a quick tour here of the first chapters of the book of Revelation so you know where we are. And if you go to chapters 1 through 3, you have three chapters that talk about seven churches. There's a message, a personal message for each church, each local church. And there are churches that existed in the first century. And so these messages to the seven churches. And then in chapter 4, if you look in chapter 4 and verse 1, we believe got the rapture. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up thither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then chapter 5, you've got the redeemed of the ages there with the Lord Jesus Christ before the throne of God. He takes a book which has seven seals on it, and that book is the title deed to the earth. It had been usurped by the devil when man fell in the garden. And so there's only one that could bring that back, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man. Since the time of Adam, everyone that's been born has been born a sinner except Jesus Christ. And then over in chapter 6, you've got, as Jesus opens up the seals on that book, you've got the start of a time of terrible tribulation. God is a God of great mercy. He is a God of tremendous grace. I don't believe we can fathom how great a God he is and how merciful he is. But there is coming a line here. And God said, don't cross that line. And man will have crossed that line. God will have called his children out of this earth. They're going to be raptured out. That's us, the church. And then he's going to let loose on this earth his wrath. And it's going to be terrible. We're going to talk about some things from chapter 6 in just a minute. But in Revelation chapter 8, I believe the Lord wants to teach us this morning just a little bit about prayer. And stuck here in the midst of seals that open up into trumpets and God doing terrible things on this earth, I get a chance to see what it will be like for me to pray faithfully and regularly for the Moors up in Michigan. As I think of them, and what are they doing now? How are things going in the church up there? And as I think of them, I ought to pray for them. As you see a little pop up there on Facebook, and they post something, well, you ought to stop and pray for them and hold them up before the Lord. And the picture is here in verse 3, is like the prayers of the saints, like incense. It's a sweet smell to the Lord, and God loves it. And so let me read it again. Revelation 8, verse 1 says there's two big things we want to look at this morning. Number one, we want to look in verse 1 at the prelude to prayer, which is silence. You're going to ever learn how to pray, you have to learn how to be quiet. And it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And then down to verse 2 and 3, we get the order of the prayers of the saints that have been on this earth, down on the front lines down here for God and Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And I'll tell you what, it is a sweet smell. It's a great smell. I want you to know something. The tabernacle and the temple did not always have a sweet smell. You know, they were out there. The priests were killing animals. Go down to a slaughterhouse. Walk in. Take a deep breath. Pass out. All right. You will understand why the Lord loved the prayers of the saints offered like wonderful incense. So let's look, first of all, take quickly the issue of silence in heaven. Now, I am a person, I like to-do lists. I like to check my to-do list off. Sometimes I get them all done. I like to extend my to-do list and get ahead for tomorrow. And on my to-do list is prayer. I know that as a believer, I need to spend time with God in prayer. That is extremely important. It's on my to-do list. And so many times in my prayer life, I rush into the presence of God. Lord, got to get this off my list. Now, these are the things I want you to do, okay? Would you bless this person? Would you help our missionaries over here? This person is facing surgery. God, would you comfort? And I never give the Lord time to instruct me as to what actually I should be praying for. Many years ago, my wife came across some things that had to do with Reformers Unanimous. And one of the things that they asked the people who go into Reformers Unanimous, which is a ministry of addictions in good Bible-believing churches all across the country, a whole network of folks headquartered up in the Chicago area. And one of the things they ask people to do is don't pray from a prayer list. Well, that's impossible for me to think of because I have to keep a list to remind myself where my prayer list is. And, you know, so I know what, and I can't imagine that. But what they ask folks to do is just get on your knees and just be quiet for a while. And just think about coming into the presence of God right before His throne and let God begin to work in your mind and heart and let Him know that you're ready to pray. And God will begin to bring to your mind and heart the things that day that you should pray for. So it's not one of those things I can just kind of rush in and say, well, Lord, I got this many minutes and so let's get it done. I need to pray for this prayer. I need to pray double time today because I don't have as much time. Lord, I can linger because it's Saturday. I have a little more time. And so let me... I need silence as I come in prayer for Him. Now, I'm thinking, how in the world in heaven, a place where in chapter 5, let's go over there for just a second, chapter 5 and verse 9, I believe chapter 4 speaks of the rapture in verse 1, and I believe over in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, speaks of the good times that we're going to have in heaven, knowing that we're there and seeing all of the beauty of that place, enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And verse 9, those of us who can't sing too well, learning what it is to sing on key. In verse 9 it says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So I believe here that heaven has been filled with all types of praise to the Lord. The next chapter over, there's a terrible time of tribulation on the earth, God opening up those seals and pouring out His wrath on those that have denied His Son and His Word and His grace and mercy. And then chapter 7 describes the great evangelistic efforts that will take place on the earth and many that will be saved on this planet. By the way, you need to know doctrinally, they'll not be a part of the church. Well, it's a different crowd that's going to get saved there. You know, those old Left Behind series, that's not really doctrinally correct. They're not going to be a part of the church. Those 144,000 are going to be sealed to go preach, and many that will be saved, God's doing something different over there, and it's good to know that. So, this morning, if you're thinking, well, I've got a backup. If the Lord comes back and I don't receive the Lord, I'll know I need to. The Bible has some warnings about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But it's hard to believe that there is suddenly silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And I again believe God is helping us to learn something about prayer. But I can tell you some reasons why heaven is silent. Number one, people realize for the first time that the greatness of the mercy of God. The Bible says in chapter 5 and verse 9 that there's all kinds of people that are going to be there. We're going to look around and see people we never dreamed would be in heaven. You mean you found the Lord as your Savior? That's amazing. It says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain us, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Every language we can imagine will be there to sing to the praises of Jesus Christ and the God who sent His Son. And every culture will have those that have come to Christ. And every tribe and nation that we can imagine that's ever existed, God has reached in and He's saved folks. And what an amazing thing the Lord has done. I believe that there have been times when I've been a little upset at the mercy of God. And on this earth, when I started out in the ministry, used to go to jails and do a lot of preaching. In fact, when we were up in Asheville back in November, we went down to a place that I spent a couple of years in visiting, all right, visiting that place and preaching the gospel inside of that jail. They had 5 floors, and all of them were used for holding prisoners of different situations and state. Below was the courthouse. It's there in Asheville. In Buncombe County, and I remember witnessing to a man who was a murderer. He was a cold-blooded murderer. He told me his story. He told me how it happened. He didn't hide anything. And I told him about the Lord, and he got saved, to my shock. And I thought, Lord, am I doing good here? Am I doing right? Do you want a murderer? Well, I will show you a little bit more about the Lord today, and I believe He does. I believe God saves people from all walks of life. I witnessed to a rapist there. It was a horrible and terrible thing. And I'm sitting across from a guy who is a rapist. And I thought, listen, I think of all of the wonderful ladies in my life. And I presented the gospel to him. And he began to weep. And he was broken over what had happened in his life. And my hope is that I'll see him in heaven. My heart that would be genuine repentance. But he bowed his head there and cried out to the Lord and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to be shocked. It's going to take my breath and my voice. As I look around from every kindred and people, all of those that God has extended his marvelous mercy to. There's a man by the name of Manuel Noriega. Do you recognize that name? The strong man of Panama. He has a lot of dark things in his past. And ultimately, the United States government said, we're going to take this guy down. I mean, he is a pipeline of drugs and the underworld. There's a lot of not good things that are happening here. And they took him out. He ended up in prison. Strong man of Panama. And somebody got him a Bible and some gospel tracts. And the strong man of Panama, like everybody else who ever got saved, found his ways to his knees and cried out to God for forgiveness and is supposed to have accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And when we get there, I believe we're going to be shocked at the mercy of God. I believe something else that we are is going to cause us to be quiet there in heaven, and that is having observed chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, some things that are going to go on in our heart. One of them is we are going to be in awe of the power of God. I know we sing about it. I know we talk about it. I know we testify about it. I just don't believe that we can even conceive how powerful that God is. And I believe for a period of time that breath will be taken from those in heaven, all the angels, all of the redeemed of the ages that are there. We'll just be quiet because we will have observed in chapter 6, one quarter of the population of this earth dying in a very brief period of time. God allowing the seal to be opened and one quarter of the earth will go away. Oh, Revelation chapter 6, something that no one could possibly believe, that the Lord could destroy the economy of the world in a moment. And the Bible talks about there of a person working for a measure of wheat for a penny, which kind of goes over our heads because nobody here works for pennies, all right? We work for dollars and hopefully more, right? And but, you know, in Bible times, a penny was a day's wage. That means that over there in chapter 6, when somebody a person earned their living and they got one penny, proper pay for one day, that means that they would be able to feed only one person. How many of you today, don't raise your hand, but you think about it, you got more than one mouth to feed at your household. And your labors and the check you bring home, it pays for quite a few, not just one. And that means that during that time, those on this planet will have to decide, does Dad eat so he can go out and earn another penny for us? How do we split up the resources that we have because we've got 4 miles or we've got 5 miles or we've got 6 miles here in our household and we have one breadwinner and they went out and they got their full day's wage. They got paid a fair amount and only one person. There's only enough food for one person. God did that to the economy of the earth in a moment. Opened a seal and boom, that took place. I believe there's happier things that we could dwell on that will keep us silent, and that is to actually see the place that God has prepared for us. I love this earth. It's such a beautiful place. I love Beaufort because it never gets old, seeing these marshes and tidal creeks and seeing the Spanish moss, and always love to be folks to be introduced to. We had the group from Crown, the Crown Trio here a couple of weeks ago coming through, and they felt like they were in a foreign country. They'd never seen anything like it and felt kind of funny. And it was kind of fun to show them Beaufort and for them to see it and to enjoy it. It's so beautiful. We were sitting there at the table. We took them out to Riverfront Park to have supper one night. And guy's holding his phone up and someone said, "What in the world are you doing?" That. And there was the sun over here going down over the water and you could see how beautiful it was. And he was getting a video of that to send home to his family. And such a beautiful place. But I don't believe that we can understand how beautiful heaven is. You know, this earth has been under the curse of sin for at least 6,000 years. Most believers believe in a very young earth, somewhere between 6,000 to 8,000 years. It's been under the curse ever since Adam and Eve said, "I think we'll just disobey God and do what we very well please and see what happens." And they did. The world's been under the curse of sin. We've known death and disease and terrible things and violence ever since then. But you know what? Heaven has never been touched by sin. And the Lord spoke and this world appeared. And Jesus has been gone for 2,000 plus years. And he said that if he would, went away, that he would prepare a place for us. What must it be like? If the Lord speaks and this beautiful planet and this universe appears and God is busy for 2,000 years, I believe we're just going to be in awe of it, in silence. Every need, every comfort, joy unbounded in that place. I believe that we are going to be quiet because of the multitude. We had no idea that while we were on this planet, God was not just interested in America. God was interested in every corner of this globe and that he is getting his word, the gospel, in places that we couldn't even dream. And we're just going to be fascinated and it's going to hit us. Wow. What a God we serve. And we'll join all those others to bow before him and silence will come over us. Because what words could be expressed to show the mighty glory of the Lord? I think one other thing will get us. And that is the manner in which we've served the Lord. You know, just for a while, I believe we're just going to be really quiet because even though the judgment seat of Christ is done, God has wiped away all tears inside of our hearts. I believe a sense, I wish I had done more.
I wish I'd have been more faithful. Why didn't I think to pray for the Moors? You know, they had a service for them, and they talked about prayer in that service. Why didn't I determine every time I saw their picture on Facebook, or every time we heard something that went on up there, and that I would stop and pray for them? And I believe that we're going to be amazed about the manner in which we served. But I believe that we'll, in our hearts, double more than ever. Oh, God, thank you for a glorified body and mind, and now I'm ready to serve you throughout all eternity. Help me. I believe also that, you know, we talk about the things of this earth being like, what do they call those things where you sew and you got the thread underneath and you got the stuff on top. That we actually, instead of looking at the threads hanging through, we'll actually get to see the picture. And I believe we'll be silent. I believe we'll be amazingly silent. God, you were working from a plan. It wasn't just a random things that happened and services like this and witnessing opportunities and the moving of the Spirit in our hearts to pray for others. That God, you were working mightily. But I'd love, as we close quickly here, to look at the prayers of the saints. The Bible compares them down in verse 4. We've got the silence, and now the saints' prayers. He compares them to incense. And I wish I had time to do it. I don't. But Hebrews 4:16, you ought to jot it down if you have something to write with and look at it there. The Bible's pleading with us, come boldly before God's throne of grace to find help in need. And then Romans 8:26, I love the fact that the Bible promises that I can't miss. You know, you say, well, preacher, I've not been saved very long. I don't know a whole lot about prayer. And hey, get silent before God. Let God move your heart. And then start crying out to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28-6 talks about the Holy Spirit and that he's going to make up the difference of our inability to pray. And so you can't miss. That's the great thing about the Lord. Now, the Lord gave us here, as we close, a prescription for the saints' prayer. He pictures it like incense coming up before him. And this is not the only place that it appears that way. Revelation 5, verse 8, Psalm 141, verse 2. The Bible talks about the prayers of the saints being like incense. And we know there are at least four ingredients described in Exodus that go into the incense that was used inside of the tabernacle and later the temple. It was a recipe and a prescription that God said, don't you ever mess with it. You make sure that you put this together in this way. Don't you do it at home. Don't you play with this. You do it this way, and I will honor it. And let me mention those quickly. Number one, there was an ingredient that God told them to get. It's called stacte. And it was a gum that was harvested from bushes, small bushes. And when it was ready to get it, it had oozed out, and it always formed what people called a tear. And so you knew it was ready when you went over to the bush and you began to harvest it and put it into your equipment there to take to the priest to make this beautiful incense that would be offered to the Lord. And it pictures the tears that God requires for a person to be an effective prayer warrior. Psalm 56 verse 8, I'm not going to ask you to go there. You might want to jot it down. It's a blessing. The Lord speaks about the fact that he keeps the tears of the saints in a bottle, which tells me that whenever God has asked me to go through some heartbreaking and difficult times, it mattered, or he would never have asked it. And so as he asks it, he promises me that he will give me strength to go through it in a way that will honor and glorify him, and that for some reason, for his glory, that I hope one day in heaven to understand and for my mouth to fall silent because I understood what I had sung and spoken of and preached on and taught, that his plan was right, that it was good. And so this morning, the broken, contrite, humble spirit that comes before God with no resources and a broken heart that says, Lord, I wish I had something to offer you for this need. But all I could do is come boldly before your throne of grace. God, would you help? And God says, I will. That's like the beautiful smell of incense in the morning and in the evening coming up before God to cover the smells of a slaughterhouse where sheep and turtle and lambs were slain. There's something else called galbanum, and it was a despicable odor. But God said, put it in the prescription. And a disagreeable odor. Yeah, there are some times where God has asked His people to go through some pretty bad stuff, some pretty disagreeable things. Paul and Silas had just come down to Philippi to preach the gospel, get a church going over there, and the very good that they do, casting demons out of a young lady, causes the local business community to say, these men ought to die for what they did. So they throw them in prison, beat them, put them in the innermost prison in stocks, and at the midnight hour, they're there, mugwumps. No, the Bible says they were there praying, having a prayer meeting, and singing. I don't know about my prayer list. I don't know about my hurried nature into God's throne room. But I guarantee you that night when those prayers were offered from that Philippian cell in the innermost prison, God enjoyed it. And He answered those prayers. And so the saints' prayers come through another ingredient. I got two more. Onycha is the other. It's a resin that was used as a medicine. It had healing compounds. And onycha, a medicine, healing compounds. All right, I'm going to date myself. I was just a child in school. But I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. I will not take a survey of who else is here. I may be the only one. But I was a boy. I was in school. And the world almost came to an end. The Soviet Union decided, Russia, that they were going to place 90 miles off the coast of the United States nuclear missiles. Hey, it's just something in a history book unless you lived it. Parents started thinking, we're going to war. We cannot tolerate missiles 90 miles off the coast of the United States. The great question was not if, it was when. I remember. My parents, my wife talks about her parents. Hey, she was alive then too. But anyway, they took us on routes to come home from school in case it started when we were at school. We did practice things in halls just like people do for tornadoes. And you learned how to put your head between your legs. I don't know what it would have done. A man named Melvin Laird made one of the greatest mistakes in diplomacy. The Russians stopped their ships because they understood that the United States would not let them. That they had put a blockade up, you're not crossing this line. They stopped them and they turned them around. And the Secretary of State, Mr. Melvin Laird, again, one of the great diplomatic bumbles of all time, said, I think they blinked. Whoa, you know, everybody were just thankful they were going away. Felt like that. And suddenly, boy, did the leaders come down on Melvin Laird. How could you say that? Listen, this is probably the most delicate and difficult diplomatic issue since World War II. And we know what it's like for the world to go to war. And suddenly, do you know what this ingredient, onycha, is? It's a healing. It's medicine. How God loves the heart that doesn't say, I think they blinked. They blink. The person who says, I don't know why we're so upset with one another. Oh God, would you help us to find some answers to the disagreement I have with my mother? Would you help me to find some answers with the disagreements I have with my brother, my in-laws, my neighbors, the folks at church? And rather than just staring eyeball to eyeball, like Mr. Laird said, they blinked. But to be the one that blinks and cries out to God, and God says, oh, that's a sweet odor. That smells so good above the slaughterhouse of all that blood that's been shed today. There's one last one. It's frankincense. a fourth of the ingredients that they had to gather and precisely put together for morning and evening offer of this incense. And frankincense, just like when the wise men brought their gifts, the gold, the myrrh, the frankincense, gold speaking of his kingliness, and myrrh speaking of his future death on the cross, the frankincense spoke of his deity. And don't you know when a believer comes before God and we say, Lord, I don't know how I ought to pray for this. My brain is too small and my ability it just doesn't exist. But God, you're able. Please guide my thinking. Please help me to know how I ought to pray. And Lord, please make up as you promised in Romans 8:26, where I'm just because of my obstinance and foolishness not able to pray. Oh, suddenly when the Holy Spirit is involved in our prayer life, oh, there's a sweet aroma, sweet smell there. Oh, listen, God is busy through His Holy Spirit directing four major things. He is directing the world to know the glory of God. And He's designed you and I to be a part of that. And the way in which He's designed for us to be a part of that is to pray, oh God, in this situation, how could you be glorified? Lord, it's a mess, and we don't know what to do. But God, you want to glorify yourself. God, would you glorify yourself? Amazing how God loves that prayer. That prayer is about fellowship with God. I was made to fellowship with God. Each day, God came with Adam into the cool of the evening, and they walked through the garden, and Adam told the Lord things, and God shared things with Adam. God wants our fellowship. He's our creator, and we're His creation. He loves us. And oh, when prayer becomes fellowship with God, oh, Lord, I can't wait to get into your presence. God, let me prepare myself. I need to be silent. And I need to remind myself that I'm coming into the throne room of an almighty God who created me. And Lord, I need you to lead me. The Lord is about redeeming mankind. And I believe if you'll be silent for a little while, when you get on your knees and begin to pray, you won't be praying, oh Lord, please let me get the red Toyota instead of the blue one. All right, Lord, they got two, and they thought they might were going to sell that other one, and that won't be top on the list. We'll be crying out, oh God, why can't we reach Warren Buford? God, why can't I get my loved ones saved? Oh God, heaven wouldn't be heaven without them being there. Lord, show me what I can do. God, show me. Reach them today for Christ. And oh, listen, the direction of the Holy Spirit, there is a fourth thing that God is directing through His Holy Spirit, through frankincense, that picture. And that is, He is building a kingdom. And every person is going to acknowledge that kingdom. The overwhelming billions of people, it will be too late. And they will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But right now, the door is open for everybody who's alive and kicking on this planet. And God is interested in building His kingdom. He wants every knee to bow. And when that person, whether they do it physically, everyone must do it spiritually. They have to bow before a holy God and acknowledge their sin. Oh God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Oh God, save me through Jesus Christ. I understand what He did. I'm believing on Him right now. Oh, what a sweet odor. And my friend, I can assure you God hears it and He loves to hear it. Has He heard anything from you this week? I tell you, we've got a wonderful couple. And God sent them here for a reason. They've touched our lives. It's hard for us here in Buford. We're used to folks going. When somebody gets over about 3 years with us, it rips our heart out. I'll tell you that. You get up 4 or 5 years, you get 9 years, we're on life support. All right, when God moves someone and God's moving them, they need our prayers. And we best learn how. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist is coming to the piano and in just a moment, as we love to do in every service, we love to have a gospel invitation. And I would love to ask you this question as you get settled and still as you can. Hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Do you know that? Is Christ in your heart? If He's not in your heart, this morning is the morning. Hey, come. We'll be standing to our feet, heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. I wouldn't put it off another minute. There is a moment where the door is closing. the Lord is going to call, the trumpet's going to sound, the shout of our Savior, and as he comes to get the redeemed, and those that have died in Christ will be resurrected, and those that are alive, our blessed hope is to be caught up with them together in the clouds. But I tell you what, my friend, there's a line drawn there, and this morning, if you don't know Christ, you need to know him. You need to have courage. In a moment, we'll be standing. You come and meet me here. You may be here and you're a Christian. And you say, well, you know what? I've been challenged. Okay, I need to pray more. That's great. I'll make a note of that. Perhaps maybe more has happened in your heart. I said, listen, Lord, I believe your word brought conviction to my heart. I think I need to be in a position of conviction. I need to get on my knees and acknowledge that. And these front steps and front pews are always open for those who allow God's word to get deeply inside of their heart and desire change in their lives more than just, well, I got a good challenge. I'm glad. I'll try to remember that and pray a little longer on Monday. No, I want something more. Won't you come? Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for the Moores and the blessing of their ministry, the opportunity to honor them. And I know we're just beginning. We're going to enjoy them here in the meal. And then next week when Brother Moore preaches, Lord, it'll be a blessed time. And pray for folks in their faithfulness to this place. But we're in invitation time now. Lord, I pray for those that are under the sound of my voice and they've never turned from their sins and put their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help them to come today. Lord, help them to let loose of a hymn book or a purse or a Bible or a pew or hand and come on and meet me here and let me get them with someone that can take that Bible and show them how to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them to step out for Christ today. Have courage. And then, Lord, I pray for us as Christians. Help us not to resist the preaching of the Word. Lord, help us not to trifle with the preaching of the Word. But, oh God, help us to respond to the preaching of the Word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.